rich in faith. The Bible says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" Notice, rich in faith. That's a Bible phrase found in James 2:5, our main verse in this message. So God has chosen the poor of this world who are what? Rich in faith. You know, many of the worldly carnal mindset view other people based on what those people have in and of this world. But that's diametrically opposed to a spiritual mindset. In fact, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. It proves that you're separated from God. So if you view people and you value their significance based on how much they have or do not have in this world, you are of a carnal mind, according to Romans 8:6, and you are living in spiritual death. Let me read that to you again. Romans chapter 8, and this is a verse we should memorize. Romans 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," they walk in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, "the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death." Death means separation. Anyone who's living out of a carnal mind is living in separation from God. It doesn't matter how saved you believe you are. If you view people based on what they have in this life or don't have, then you are separated from God. You are living in darkness because you love darkness rather than light, because your deeds are evil and you live after a carnal mind instead of walking in the Spirit, which is what these two verses are speaking about. Actually, Romans 8, beginning in verse 5, maybe we'll read to verse 8 or 9. So here, "For to be carnally minded," verse 6, "is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You don't have a life and a heart of peace if you're living after a carnal mind, but if you have life and peace, if you live in peace with God and in your heart, it's because great peace have they that love thy law, or the word of God. They obey it. They love and obey it, or the God who gave us that word. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law or the word of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. So being after the flesh and viewing people based on the material or financial wealth that they have in this world, which is fleeting, is to live in separation from God. If that's how you view people, it's because you are a lost soul. Hearken, James 2, verse 5. "My beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" So many of those who are rich in faith are also poor in this world. And that is actually an opportunity for you and I to share with them. Notice what the Bible says about the poor in Proverbs 19, verse 17. "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." So when we give to the poor, it's going to be a laying up treasure in heavenly places, as Jesus instructed us to do in Matthew 6:19-21, when our Lord said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, In other words, he's saying what riches you lay up on this earth are going to be completely diminished, because Job and 1 Timothy chapter 6 tell us that naked we came into this world and naked we shall return. Let me ask you something, my friend. Are you wasting your substance, the substance of your time and treasure in this world? Verse 20, Matthew 6, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In other words, your investment in the treasure that God has given you in heaven for your obedience to Him on the earth is secure. It will never be diminished an iota. Your investment is completely safe with God, whereas anything you do on this earth that's not for Christ is waste. In verse 21, Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Concerning this statement from Christ, one writer notes, this radical financial policy is based on the underlying principle that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, if your money is in a safe deposit box, then your heart and desire are also there. You're thinking about that. In other words, you put your trust in the security of that money that you have laid up, right? Then he continues, he says, if your treasures are in heaven, your interest will be centered there, that is, in heaven. This teaching forces us to decide if Jesus meant what he said. If he did, then we face the question, what are we going to do with our earthly treasures? Quote unquote. Then he finishes by saying, if he didn't, then we face the question, what are we going to do with our Bible? Unquote. That's from the Believer's Bible Commentary. Notice James, when he speaks of them that love him who are poor in this world, he says, James says, God chooses those for his eternal kingdom that love him, quote unquote, namely, quote, the poor of this world, unquote. From James 2:5, we are justified by faith and not by what we do or do not temporarily possess in this fleeting life. If in your own mind you rate people, you set a value on them by what they have or don't have in this fleeting sinful world, you are deeply deceived, friend, and in utter need of repentance and the washing of water by the Word of God. You are carnally minded, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. It's a sickening picture, and it's a picture of the bride, that, or the professing bride, the people, many who claim to be saved, and yet they're carnally minded. They rate everything not in heavenly value, but in this world system and how it values people. But the Bible says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. So regrettably, it seems that many people professing to be following Christ, the one who gave all, are not the least bit concerned if their brother or sister has a need. God, have mercy upon us and grant us repentance in the name of Jesus. You gotta wonder if these people are even saved. Again, we should delight to help the poor. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Jesus is watching. We know that from what he said concerning the widow with the two mites. Remember that? In the end of Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, where he beheld how the people, rich and poor in this world, cast into the treasury, cast money. Notice it said that Jesus sat over against the treasury, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich, that is, in this world, cast in much. So Jesus is watching how we spend the money he has allowed to come into our hands. And if you're a godly person, you delight to be generous. And God even promises that he's going to repay you for that. Mark 10 says he's going to repay you even in this life. That does not mean that you're going to get $10 for every dollar you give. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about. But you can't deny that fact. Read Mark 10. He's also going to repay us eternally. Again, it's not going to be based on dollar amounts, such as every dollar you give, he gives you 10 or 100 back. That's not what we're talking about. But God is going to bless your life. We'll just leave it at that. He clearly said, again, in Proverbs 19, verse 17, that if you have pity on the poor, he is going to bless you. That which he hath given, that which you give, he will repay or pay him again. You are lending to the Lord when you reach out in the love of God and worshipful obedience to him and help those in need. Now, we picture the poor as those who are on the street and homeless and have a cup out so that people can give if they wish. And oh, isn't it interesting and alarming at how few people stop to help the poor? Wow. Yet there are those among us that are poor. In fact, the Corinthian church gave money in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians for the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. Notice they gave to the people of God, which is our first priority, Galatians 6:10. So the poor are those who have a need. And oh, what a grand opportunity it is for us when we come upon other saints who have a need. Now, regrettably, it seems that most people professing to follow Christ, the one who gave all, are not the least bit concerned if their brother or sister in Christ has a need. God have mercy on us. May he grant us repentance. Notice 1 John 3:16 through 19. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. That's Christ. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, in other words, doesn't help him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, it does not. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue or with mere lip service, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Unquote, 1 John 3:16 through 19. One person once said, God has no need of your money, but the poor have need of your money. You give it to the poor and God receives it. Amen. Sister Karen Cochran says the following, if we are in Jesus, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ, according to Ephesians 3:8. She continues, unfathomable in our small minds, infinite wealth and spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, endless mercy, grace, and forgiveness that is inexhaustible. Why do we need any worldly riches that will rot and corrupt our hearts? Lay up in your hearts God's riches, which are eternal, unquote, Sister Karen Cochran. Now, some have tens of thousands in the bank and could care less, regrettably, to find out if a sister or a brother has a need. James 2:14 through 17 says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, in other words, go your way, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone, unquote, James 2:14-17. In other words, saving faith is always going to produce good works. He later says, two verses later in James 2, even the devils believe in God and tremble. That doesn't make them saved, in other words. If your supposed faith does not produce a life of giving, then it's not saving faith. And that's exactly what James 2:14-17 tells us. The financial institutions and their salesmen are vying for your money. We're bombarded with advertisements every day. They want your money to invest so that you and they earn a financial gain in this life. Christians in need, orphans, and gospel workers that are doing the Great Commission are also available to invest in. Who will you invest in, my friend? To help them is to invest in the Lord's kingdom and to be repaid dividends for all eternity. Oh, and your heart will also follow where you choose to place the treasure God's put into your hands. And as we close and pray, let's finish again with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Let's pray, saints. Holy Father, please forgive my sin of hoarding what you've put into my hands instead of generously giving it. Please break me and make me your authentic disciple. Jesus, I love you. Let me walk as you walked, Lord. You gave all. Bless me to live as you lived and to love as you love. Bless this life that you gave to be truly crucified with you, dead, buried, and raised up, and a vessel of honor for your eternal glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.